Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
I choose life. Kinda.
Life-ish?
Life-ish, yeah.
What's the alternative?
Oh my gosh. Whatever yesterday was when I got home. So I had food poisoning yesterday, and it hit yesterday morning. When you are counting how many times you threw up, is it how many times you went to the toilet or how many times you actually like expelled something? What's the count for you?
To me, it's every heave.
Every heave?
Like,
okay.
Two.
Okay. Gotcha.
I usually count what hits the toilet.
What hits, okay.
Follow through.
Yeah. Oh, man. Laughing's going to be hard today. Try not to do that. Mm-hmm. So then I threw up like 12 times yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez.
Wow.
Yes. So I got, I think I threw up about 6 or 9 times throughout the show yesterday.
What?
Yeah. And then, of course, it was also, I was dealing with the other end as well. And then I muscled through the show and then finally got to go home. And as soon as I walked into the house, it was like my body kind of like could finally like relax and let everything go. And that was the most violent throwing up I have ever experienced.
Man.
And to the point where I thought I had to use the bathroom, and I'm sitting there, and then it's like, oh no, it's coming out the front. So then I had to turn around real quick so I could like, it was. And so I get into the bed and I'm just like, I'm shaking like a little like scared chihuahua. I slept for like 4 hours, and then it was just like sweats and then the chills and then sweats and then chills. And then finally was able to eat something last night, and I had a couple bites of watermelon and some water crackers. And now I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
So I feel confident that nothing else is wanting to escape my body. I'm just freaking exhausted. Like, my body, I felt like I've done the most intense workout just from, like, you know, the heaving and stuff like that. And so, but multiple people have asked, like, where did you get it from? And I mean, it definitely felt like food poisoning. It was something gastrointestinal, mm-hmm. for sure. And the only thing I can think of, and it's the only thing I ate that nobody else in my house ate, was the chicken soup 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
where was it from?
It was from a restaurant that I go to all the time, have eaten there for 13 years. Nothing like that has ever happened. So I don't know if something was wrong with the chicken.
You got the salmonella.
I think I might have.
Are you going to call the restaurant and tell them?
No.
How? You should.
Yeah, they should.
Well, what are they going to do?
Well, they can either
give you more soup.
I mean, that soup's long gone now.
Right, but they might be having some storage issues. Like, they might not be storing chicken props, or they might have a new staffer. Like, it's a good heads up.
Well, I mean, in all sincerity, if it had happened before, but this, considering this is the first time that this is, like, literally I've eaten at this restaurant for 13 years, I'm just chalking it up as it's just something wonky happened instead of, like, something like that.
Right.
I know I felt bad for you yesterday when I was coming in the studio and you were coming out and you held the door for me and I said thank you, and it looked so painful for you to say you're welcome. Like, it took everything out of you to get that you're welcome out. I said, she down bad.
There is nothing worse than feeling nauseous and feeling like you have to throw up, because it's like, just come out. Like, if it would just come out, I would be happy for it to come out.
Right, and I fought it. I loathe that feeling, but everything needed to come out. Like, my body was like, that was my body's way of like trying to save me by kill me at the same time. But I am here. Bert is not. He has no voice. Because the universe be universe and man.
You banged up right now.
seriously.
We are hobbling our way to Friday.
We are 100% hobbling our way to Friday. All right, but so Abby, your mom is the worst person to shop with, and why is that?
Oh my gosh, she has like a phobia of certain stores. So for context, my parents worked really hard to get to where they are today. Like I would say they're very successful. They like to go on nice vacations. They're a little bougie now. I give them a hard time for it because growing up, we were the kind of family that like we would go out to eat like once every couple of months, but like no extras. You're getting the kids menu meal, no dessert. We're sharing one drink. Like we were that kind of family. So now at the place they are now, it's such a whiplash because my mom still kind of has those same fears that she had when she didn't have like the money to appreciate or like spend on nice things. So in Chicago over the weekend, my dad, he's a big watch guy. Like if you get him talking about watches, like he won't shut up. He wants to talk to you about the interior skeleton, how things work.
My dad is the same way.
He's obsessed with watches and he has this really beautiful watch collection now that he's like, you know, old and has the money to spend on nice watches. But there's this one watch he's been looking at for a while, for like years. And he was finally going to get it because it was a pre-owned watch that was only available in Chicago. So me and my dad went to the bougie part of Chicago, like Michigan Avenue or whatever, where all like those fancy shops.
Chicago is one of those cities, like there's certain cities that just have like exceptional shopping, and Michigan Ave in Chicago is one of those places.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it's beautiful. Yeah. I always am shocked at how pretty Chicago is because I go there and I immediately think this is New York. And then you get there and you're like, this is not New York. Like it is. There's flowers lining the street. The shops are beautiful. And so we had a really good time just bopping into like a bunch of watch stores while we were down there. And we spent like a good 4 or 5 hours just looking at watches. So I'm very well versed on all the fancy watches from Rolex to Omega to all the ones I can't pronounce. And finally, my mom, who was picking up her Chicago race bib for that day, came down to go shop with me and my dad. So he had picked up the watch and my dad was like, we should go look for something for you guys. And me, who has never heard those words ever from my parent, I was like, yes, where are we going first? So my dad was so nice, took me to go look at some purses and we're bopping around to some of the stores. And as we were walking by, Hermes. I was like, can we go? I know we can't get anything from Hermes, but can we go into? I've never been inside an Hermes store, which if you don't know what Hermes is, it's like the Rolex of purses. It is the
Birkin is like the,
yes,
the purse that is the holy grail of all purses.
It is the purse to get. And for good reason, it's like a $40,000 purse. It's like a car.
It should be your personal assistant.
I could never, like, I mean, I like nice things. I like designer brands, but I could never fathom spending that much on a purse.
Same way. Now, if Drake wants to gift me a Birkin, if I go to his concert and he's like, hey, girl in row 75, you get the Birkin, I'm going to take it, but I'm not spending $40,000 on it. So we're walking by and I tell my dad, I'm like, let's go in here. I want to show you. I just looked at watches for 7 hours. Let's go look at some really swanky purses. And my dad's like, cool, let's do it. So we walk in and we look at each other and we're like, where's mom? My mom's standing outside and we go, hey, you're going to come inside? You feeling okay? She was really nervous about the race. And she goes, oh no, I'm not going in there. And I'm like, well, why are you not? Well, come on, let's go look at Hermes. We look at these purses all the time online. Let's go see what they look like in real life. And mom goes, no. They know that we can't afford that. And I don't want to deal with the salespeople. I don't want them looking at us, calling us poor. I'm staying out here. And I'm like, they're not going to ask for our tax returns. Like we don't have to show them our credit score. Let's just go look at these very iconic purses.
And you're not the only people who do that. There's plenty of people who just like to look at the goods.
Yes.
Like
50 Cent made a whole song about it. Window shopping.
Literally. Like, let's just go window shop. So my dad and I go in there. Mom's like, no, we're not going to do that. So I'm like, fine. So we leave that store and we bop around to like another store. I can't remember what it was, but it's another like fancy one, like Loewe or whatever. And I was like, let's go look at these like beautiful purses. Mom's like, no, we can't go in there. We can't go in there. I'm like, so what is the cutoff? Like you went in with me to this store, but not the one next door. Like, these are all expensive items. Like, we're not going to buy anything. But at the same time, like, the salespeople aren't going to, like, hold us at gunpoint to buy something. Like, why are you freaking out? And she just said, I feel very uncomfortable going into a store that I know we're not going to buy something. And I feel like we're taking up the salespeople time.
But you're not, because they're not, like, they're going to ask you, hey, do you need any help with anything? And you're going to say, no, thank you. And then they're going to go about their business.
And that's exactly what we did. And yet she refused to shop with me and my dad for half the time.
I kind of get it because I always feel like when I go into a store and don't buy anything, especially if it's expensive stuff, that they're judging me. I don't know why, but I feel like they are looking at me like, we knew you weren't gonna buy anything.
I'd say wait until you get older, you don't care, but Your mom still does.
Well, it's so weird because I'm like, not to be pretentious, but I was like, Mom, like the people that work there make like a third of what Dad makes. Like, Dad is balling at this stage in his life. Like, you shouldn't feel insecure about these people judging you. Mm-hmm. Like, they're working their way to the top mm-hmm. too. And she's just like, I refuse to do it. So she stood outside on the sidewalk. We didn't buy anything from Hermes, unfortunately. We're still pretty broke.
Ooh, but you got to see a Birkin in real life.
But I got to see it behind glass.
Yeah, they won't let you touch it.
I
yeah.
bet.
Yeah,
it,
no.
It's all behind glass?
Yeah, and if they do touch it, because I'm weird, I follow an account, and it's a woman who I think is in London, and they also have a shop in Dubai, and they repurpose Birkins. So people come in, and then she will only touch Birkins with gloved hands.
Really?
Yes. It's like it's because you don't want to get your oils.
Prints and oils.
Listen, if I'm spending $40,000 on a purse, you better be touching that thing with gloves.
Right?
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
After being canceled in 2019, the Victoria's Secret fashion show came back.
How long has it been again?
6 years okay. since 2000. It was canceled in 2019, but it's been on hiatus so for about 5-6 years. And all of the big shots came back to welcome Victoria's Secret back to the runways. So Tyra Banks ended up closing the show. Adriana Lima was out there. Kate Moss came out there.
Gigi Hadid opened it, and I can tell no lies. That girl is just stunning.
She is so beautiful. In her outfit, you can get it in the Victoria's Secret store. It's like $80, and it's stunning. Looks so bougie and expensive. Dylan Sprouse's wife, Barbara Palvin, hit the runway. He was so cute. I love... They didn't show a lot of the significant others at the fashion show, but they did pan to him. And I guess she had been missing her animals while she was like waiting for the Victoria's Secret fashion show to start. You know, you got to train, you got to do rehearsals. And so he brought cutouts of like their pets from home so that she could see them while they were walking the runway. But it's funny. I saw this is so weird. I'm bringing up Barstool Sports while we're talking about Victoria's Secret fashion show. I follow this account named Jack Mack, and he had some interesting commentary about how the Victoria's Secret fashion show is really signaling the fact that the world is healing.
The Victoria's Secret fashion show returning to its true form tonight is such a healing moment for our society. It got so crazy that we canceled Hot Girls. Think about that for a second. We canceled it. It's such a great indication for where we are at with society. We were at a low point. We went crazy. But tonight, we return to our glory. It's okay to be hot again. It's okay to embrace hot women again. Tonight, we're back.
We are so back.
Life is back.
And what I loved about this year's Victoria's Secret fashion show is they were very conscious about the fact that it's not just about being a size 000 on the runway. You get to look like maybe not the average woman, because there's still models who work incredibly hard on their physique, but models that aren't just a specific look. Tyra Banks looked beautiful and curvaceous and human. And then they're also like the flip side. Bella Hadid came out looking like the typical Victoria's Secret model. So it was really cool to see a variety of different body types on that stage that were typically just used to seeing a very specific look for.
Why were they canceled back in the day? I don't remember.
I think there was just so much backlash for all the pressure that they put on women to look in like a very specific type of chick. Like, you have to have the flat abs, you have to be a 000. And I think the consumer was just sick of that narrative being pushed for women.
Got it.
And like, one of the most popular questions to ask the models backstage was, what are you eating after this? Are you so excited to eat a meal? Like, because they were starving themselves to look like that. So people just got, it's not the show itself and it's not the hot women. It was that everyone was so rail thin to a point where it's not about the body type, it's about the pressure put on not only the models but other women to like starve themselves and do unhealthy things to look like that.
Got it.
And I'm trying to remember too when that Netflix, I think it was on Netflix, documentary came out about Victoria's Secret. Very problematic.
Yeah.
The company is very problematic.
I haven't seen that documentary, but I do remember people talking about it because I feel like it came out around the same time that the Abercrombie one came out, and there was a similar narrative surrounding that too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hot girls are back, but hot girls that don't starve themselves are back, which is great. Now, someone who's getting some criticism for some interesting lingerie choices are Heidi Klum and her daughter. So they're facing some criticism for their latest campaign together because they posed in lingerie together. They were wearing various different intimate underwear sets for Intimissy's fall winter collection. And a lot of people are like, this is a little uncomfortable. Like, this is a very sexy shoot to do as a mom and daughter. But then on the flip side, people are like, well, it's sort of like take your daughter to work day. Like, this is this is what Heidi Klum does for work. There's nothing really sexual about it, but people still kind of feel a way about it.
Yeah, I mean, one person's sexuality is different as far as, you know, like, they may view somebody wearing lingerie as very sexual, whereas somebody else is like, this is just my underwear. So I think it's just like how you, where you are on the spectrum. So I'm for Heidi Klum, I think this is, like you said, this is just like everyday work for her.
100%. It's like you bringing Jimmy in and him like talking on the microphone. Like, this is what she does for work. She wears underwear.
True. I don't think I could ever see myself doing an underwear ad with my son.
A little different.
I think it does hit different when it's a boy.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, there's something like girlhood about it. Like, oh, I personally couldn't do it like with a family member, like me wearing lingerie, but that's also not my job every day. It's not something that people would be like, that's normal for Abby, or at least not normal yet. I don't know. Until I turn into a Victoria's Secret model after my Pilates workouts that I keep doing. All right, Jerry Seinfeld is taking back comments about one of the political parties after some backlash he received. I'm going to tell you all about it on your next eBuzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The new iPhone 16 has dropped, and shocker, there's already complaints. So apparently what's supposed to be like the new and shiny aspect of this iPhone is the AI functionality. But it doesn't work yet. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, so it's in beta testing right now, and they're looking, hopefully the new features will roll out around October 28th, supposedly, at the end of the month, with some to come later. I guarantee someone's head rolled at Apple. Like, I think this was supposed to be buttoned up, ready to go by the launch, and they've just realized there are more issues that they have to work out, so they released a beta version. It's supposed to be able to do stuff like, if you're writing an email, it will rewrite your email to make it sound more professional. It'll proofread your stuff for grammar. If you're writing a long email, it can summarize text, like a TLDR, too long, didn't read, and give you a summary. If you're making a packing list, like Abby's going to London, you can write it and it'll put it in a neat, nice little table for you. And then it'll have ChatGPT integrations later on. Siri's going to be more robust as well. And then it's going to have really cool features like, let's say you have a restaurant, you take a picture of a restaurant, it should be able to search that restaurant and give you stuff like hours, the opening, like opening times, phone numbers, menu, things like that. So it's going to really be a game changer once they get it working.
Because right now, it's basically just iPhone 15, but with a slightly better camera.
Yeah, that's not true.
No?
It's better. I mean, even it's worth just the video. If you know anything about video, the 15 shot at 4K, 30 frames per second. Like, when you shoot a movie, it's at 24 frames per second. You shoot it at 60 frames per second, which is what it is now. It's insane.
But that,
like, if you go on YouTube and Google Gemini Man, the Will Smith movie, and watch the video for that, it is amazing.
But that's that's the camera and the processing chip, though. So they have done some like internal upgrades, but it's not like.
But I don't know why people are complaining, because every TV commercial for this phone has always said fall 2024, it's coming.
Well,
it didn't say it was on the phone.
But when you drop it, you expect it to be ready.
Yeah.
Like when it drops, you expect everything to work.
Mm-hmm. I didn't, because I read the commercial.
Well, it says it's coming in fall, but I think a lot of people with the new release of the phone are like, oh, it's going to go hand in hand September 20th. Nope. I'm going to get the AI.
September 20th ain't fall, is it?
Yeah, yes, it is.
The 21st is.
Mm. Oh, get out of here.
I'm just saying. That's how they do.
But it's going to be really cool. You're going to be able to voice record. It's going to be able to transcribe it. You're going to be able to search through your photos much easier. Like right now, you could type dog and it'll pull up pictures of dogs. That's going to get more robust. You can do prompts. So I could be like, hey, make me a slideshow of when Kristen and I, you know, at her birthday party at Avalon. And it'll pull all those photos and make like a little story with different chapters of the whole weekend. So it is going to be cool when we get it.
Gotcha. All right, so we're gonna try something new today. Our producer Jackson has now been dubbed the intern whisperer. So we have intern Shelby in here, and we have ran this by you, and you're game to play.
Correct.
Okay, make sure you eat the mic. So you are game to play, and what we have learned about Shelby is she is a hard worker. and we love having her as an intern, but she can't tell a story to save her life.
That's so, what's happening.
Yes. So you are still submitting personal stories, and we have found one that we definitely want to hear about, but we don't want you to tell us.
Yes, correct.
So what we're going to do is Shelby will be here, but Jackson's going to tell her story on her behalf.
Okay, oh my God.
As the intern whisperer. So let's hear about when intern Shelby got bumped up to first class, but it ended up turning into a nightmare situation.
Okay, so I'm going to do this as if I am telling it as her.
Yes.
Makes sense, right?
You are Shelby.
I am Shelby in this situation.
You know what it reminds me of? If anybody's ever seen the movie Ghost, when Whoopi Goldberg is sitting there and Patrick Swayze enters her body, this is Shelby is entering your body to tell the story.
Okay. Not weird at all.
It sounds like Shelby just went through puberty.
You're in trouble, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a little powwow back there to get some of the details of the story, and I was like, all right, so like, tell me what happened. And she basically was like, I was bumped to first class, but the lady in front of me was the worst person ever. And I was like, okay, I need a little bit more to go off of than that. So we had an interview style little powwow back there. So now I think I have the complete story, okay?
Perfect. Let's relive intern Shelby getting bumped to first class and meeting a nightmare woman.
Here we go. So I was flying from Atlanta to Miami with my husband for vacation, and much to my surprise, we actually got upgraded to first class.
It's always such a coup when you do that.
Yes, ooh, it is.
Huge for the program.
Absolutely.
Right? And this was an even bigger deal because this was our first time flying first class. But it turns out this was the flight from hell. I think I have some sort of energy in the air about me talking about flights that didn't go over well.
A bit.
Don't put that energy. I got a flight today.
You're so right.
He's taking all of the bad flights for you, so your flight will be seamless.
Thank you.
On me. All right. When you think of annoying things on planes, you probably think crying babies, rude flight attendants, or not being able to have your seat reclined when landing. But the other obvious plane grievance to experience is none other than sitting next to the person who will not shut up.
Mm.
How am I doing so far, Shelby? Accurate?
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So this is a 10 p.m. flight, so everyone sort of expects this to be a quiet flight where most people sleep, but oh, no, that is not what happened. So I'm sitting up in the second row, first class with my husband, and it wasn't even the person sitting next to me, it was the person in front of us.
Ew, so she's turning around the whole entire time?
Just talking to the whole plane.
Oh,
talking
no.
to the whole plane.
I had never seen that before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she was drinking, but she was definitely on something. Mm. But for the entirety of the flight, this woman decided to project her entire life story on not just her seatmate, but every single person in our section of the cabin.
That strikes me as somebody that has a fear of flying and maybe took medication to ease that and might have also had a drink. And now yes. You just have somebody that's slurring their words loudly to the entire plane.
Yeah, after they served drinks, it got much worse.
Checks out.
Yep.
20 minutes in, and at this point, I know her age, her birthday, siblings, social security, moon phase on the day of her anniversary, menstruation cycle, and everything in between.
What? Oh, was she on her period?
I mean, I know her ex-husband's height, birthday, spending habits, horoscope.
Wow.
Yeah.
All her degrees.
She was just on a tear, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. She did not breathe.
She give you anything useful like her credit card number?
No.
Drinks are free, so you don't have to give it out in first class.
That's true.
Upon looking behind me and up the aisle mid-flight, I could see the life energy drained out of every single passenger behind us.
Did you ever once contemplate asking a flight attendant to shut her up?
No, they were like egging it on, like almost treating her like she was famous. Like they,
that's
people
surprising.
Were wanting to hear this.
Because it was first class. I would imagine they would have said something because they are real serious about people enjoying their first class flight.
Well, everyone, I know I got an extra drink, so that was.
Sounds like you needed that.
I was honestly annoyed that nobody was saying anything, but should you say something in this situation? So I decided to take matters into my own hand and not directly confront her, but make some subtle side comments. When the flight attendant came by and asked how the flight was going, I said, "It's good, but it could be a little quieter." That's what you said, right?
I did.
Okay. And on top of that, I made sure to make a fairly audible shh to everyone once in a while, but it still didn't work. Honestly, first class was cool, but I'd rather have sat in coach with a screaming baby than have to endure that again.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
It really does.
She had the worst accent too to go along with it. I just.
Oh, good.
You got to do an impression of it.
No, I mean that's how she started off with it. She was like a Spanish Jewish from New Jersey, and there's some Wisconsin in there.
Oh wow,
there was a range.
So a mix, a Midwestern Jersey accent.
Yeah, I've never heard this one.
The Burt Show.
I'm going to get to your dark side of funeral homes here in just a second, but first, Cassie, why is Nutter Butter going viral?
Nutter Butter has launched an insane marketing campaign, and they've stuck with it, and it's paid off. Their TikTok account is absolutely unhinged. When you look at it, you're going to think you have taken some bad acid and you're tripping. They have one scene that's like a dollhouse smeared in peanut butter with like Nutter Butter dolls that looks like a crime scene with horror music playing behind it. I really, there are no words. All it reminds me of is, do you guys remember, like, from 10 years ago, the Quiznos commercials that were, like, the weird little animals, like, we love the socks.
They looked like they were, like, hamsters or something.
Yes, like hamsters on crack. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe of Nutter Butter, but times 1,000.
Oh, wow.
So if you get a chance today, you have to go check out their TikTok. It's at Nutter Butter, because it is so bananas. I don't even understand what I'm looking at half the time. It's like somebody did those collages you used to do as a teen when you cut out like pictures out of Glamour and made your little vision board or whatever, but animated them, and it's all featured on Nutter Butter. But whatever it is, the same way Wendy's has made their mark with like snarky comebacks on Twitter, Nutter Butter has made their mark with these insane visuals, and it's really working for them, and it's actually highly entertaining.
So I wanted to come up with a dark side that was topical and relevant for spooky season, right? And for those that don't know, my dark side series, I try to find the most outlandish stories, scandals, etc., when it comes to certain, whether it's businesses or whatever. And I was like, all right, spooky season, it's Halloween, maybe the dark side of candy factories, right? But I Google it, and it's like, the chocolate industry has a dark side that includes child labor, environmental degradation, and social injustice. And I'm like, well, we're not doing that one, because that doesn't sound fun. And I was like, ooh, what about the dark side of horror movies, right? Exposure to frightening media content, such as horror movies, can lead to increased anxiety, nightmares, and fear of the dark among children. I'm like, well, that sucks. We're not going to do that one. So, believe it or not, it was my husband, Bart, who said, hey, why don't you do the dark side of funeral homes? And that one was a gold mine.
Every industry has its deep, dark secrets. Until Kristen shines a light on its dark side.
Welcome to my dark side.
All right, I'm going to give the kid warning now.
I was about to say, I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, I'm
going to
give the kid warning right now. And you probably don't want them hearing this. So we're just going to go ahead and put that out there.
Oh, no.
All right.
I don't know if I want to hear it.
Right. So I found a website, Confessions of a Funeral Director. And this was one of his confessions, not of his funeral home, but he confirmed that this was true. In 2002, it was discovered that the Tri-State Crematory had been scattering the bodies rather than properly cremating them. Over 300 bodies were discovered on the crematory's property. It was revealed that the crematory had been giving the families concrete dust instead of ashes.
No way.
Some of the bodies were never identified. So the Tri-State Crematory scandal is indeed true. It did happen. It happened in the Noble community in Northwest Georgia and came to national attention in 2002.
Wow.
What does that mean, scattered? Like, there's just all these bodies still in the crematorium?
Yeah. No, on the property. So, like, the land that the property is on, they just chucked bodies out there.
Oh, my God.
Why wouldn't you? Okay, I have questions. I'll have to research later, because that's insane.
That is.
And they're not the only ones to do that.
Oh, what?
Of course not.
What? You've one job. Right? You literally have one job.
The Return to Nature Funeral Home in Penrose, Colorado was involved in a high-profile scandal in which the owners were accused of improperly storing bodies and giving families fake ashes. So in October of 2023, so just a year ago, Investigators discovered nearly 200 decomposing bodies stacked in the funeral home. The bodies were found after authorities responded to a report of an abhorrent smell. The owners, John and Carrie Halford, are accused of a number of crimes, including abuse of a corpse, money laundering, and theft. They also allegedly fabricated cremation records and gave families fake ashes. The funeral home was ordered to pay $950 million to the families of the victims in a civil case. However, it's unlikely that the Halfords will pay the sum because they are in serious financial difficulties.
I bet.
John Halford is in custody while his wife is out on bail.
Oh. Like, the amount of work you went to cover that up when you could have just burned the bodies.
You would think that's the easy thing to do.
Yeah.
You would think, but apparently not. And then Colorado back at it again.
Oh,
new fear unlocked.
So a new podcast explores the Montrose funeral home scandal that rocked Colorado. So Ashley Fance is the host of Cover Up Body Brokers. And it's a podcast that dives into the shady world of selling body parts and the Sunset Mesa funeral home fiasco. So in 2018, reports emerged that Sunset Mesa Funeral Home, run by Megan Hess and her mother, Shirley Coach, had been operating an illegal side business selling human body parts.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
The FBI raided the funeral home where agents found bags of cement that was they suspected were being mixed into cremated remains and seized computers with troves of incriminating emails. After Hess and her mother eventually accepted a plea deal in which they admitted to stealing bodies or body parts from hundreds of victims, a judge sentenced them each to more than a decade in prison in January of 2023.
That is wild. There's a market for human body parts?
Yes.
I mean, I knew there was a market for human body parts, like coming out of a fresh body, right? Like transplant goods. But who's buying a severed human hand?
Well, what is that about?
I have no idea. But when I start, and I'm like, no way these stories are real. Like, no, they 100% absolutely. Mm. Now, I did fall down this Reddit rabbit hole of funeral directors and some of the crazy stories involving families. So that's didn't really necessarily fall under a dark side, but confessions of a funeral director, I am going to do that later this week because the stories of what like they witness families do and the insanity, because obviously grief, it doesn't always bring out the best side of people. There are some insane funeral home stories with the families that I will definitely share. Like I said, doesn't fall under like this dark side or whatever, but so yeah.
Can't even die in peace anymore.
What do you think the most in-demand body part is? Like, what do you think goes for the most? You think people get legs?
No, head.
Stop. No.
The head? Yeah, it would have to be the head.
I think it has to be the head.
Yeah, it got to be the head.
You think someone's just got a bunch of heads in their basement?
Yeah. You was thinking freaky, wasn't it?
I thought you were thinking freaky.
I was.
You were thinking a different kind of head, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
The Burt Show.
One of us is being blackmailed and has a warning for all Burt Show listeners. Abby, are you being blackmailed?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Mo, are you being blackmailed?
I mean, I am a black male, but I am not.
That took me too long to register. I was like, what?
That was well played.
I think we just got blackmailed.
We did. We all just got blackmailed. Cassie, you're getting blackmailed?
I am. And I want this to serve as a heads up and a warning to all of our virtual listening fam. So I received a pretty scary email. And I had to talk to my husband about it, who reassured me that it's actually a scam. But I didn't realize it reading this. And I'm sitting here combing through my head about what this person could possibly be blackmailing me over. So I get an email with an attachment with my full name in it. And it's like, I know that calling, and it inserts my full phone number. or visiting, it inserts my street address, like my actual home address.
Wait, so you opened the attachment?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why. That was really, really dumb of me. I think it's because it's from an actual person at Gmail. Like, it's not like a string of numbers at whatever. So it's a Gmail address that mailed it to me. So I'm like, well, what is this? And it had my name and my phone number and my address in the body of the email. So that made me think, okay, it's from a Gmail. It's got all that info. This might be something having to do with the insurance. Like, we're working with a lot of different adjusters. So I'm like, I don't know who this is. Normally, I would never click a link or an attachment, but I was dumb. And it's like CassandraYoung.pdf is what it's named. So I'm like, oh, this is so customized. It must be from like one of our insurance adjusters or something like that. So I open it and I start reading. And it's like, it's important you pay attention to this message right now because we're about to discuss a deal. And I'm like, what the hell is this person talking about? And I read on and it's like, you've been treading on thin ice with your browsing habits, and I installed a bug on this, like these websites, but very generic. And I'm like, what is it talking about? But they're like, if you don't Venmo or like send me this amount of Bitcoin to this address, I'm going to release the records to everyone, which I'm like, go ahead. What records? Oh, no. You know, I'm not doing anything wrong.
How to decorate my car for trunk or treat. Yeah. Just thirst traps of the dad from Bluey.
Yeah. Or like me watching firefighters on TikTok, you know, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, did I click on something? Like, did I at some point accidentally click on something bad that I shouldn't have? And I'm racking my brain and I'm freaking out at this point because I'm telling like my husband, I'm like, I don't know what this is, but what if I did? Like, what if something bad happened and I didn't realize it?
You are smarter than that.
Well, yes, but also no, because I'm smart, but I can also be really dumb sometimes. Like, just because I know facts doesn't mean I have street sense. And so I'm like, what if I did something and I didn't realize I did it, and now this is good. This is the last thing I need. And of course, we've had a year of bad luck. So in my head, I'm like, this is just another thing on the plate. But it's very, and they sent another email too. And they're like, you can't tell anyone. You cannot bring in the police. Like, do not forward this email. We will know all the things. And that's when I started to be like, okay, this sounds like straight out of a Tom Cruise movie. If you share this, we will find you. But it's scary because at the end of them, sometimes they'll be like, beautiful neighborhood, by the way. And they include like a screenshot of your house from like Google Street View.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my God. But we did a search, and this is a pretty standardized scam where they just sub in your own records for it, right? So it's all public record. Mm-hmm. You can find it through like the sites that Tommy uses. And I thought I had removed my information. So I guess I still got one out there. I got to yank it off. But it freaked me out. So the thing is, if I do consider myself a fairly intelligent person with a critical eye who is sadly trained in phishing scams, right? And we'll always look out for that stuff and catch the really convincing phishing scams. I'm like, this is a phishing scam. But this one, because it had so much personalized information and everything going on in my life, I was like, it could be a roofing contractor. It could be anybody. And it freaked me out. And I think anyone, if somebody's like, I know what you did, you're immediately going to be like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. But in the back of your head, you're like, but did I do something? Uh-huh. Like, what have I done? So I'm just sharing this with everyone because I want you guys to know it's a scam and you can report it officially to like the state and the FBI, but don't fall for it. But it's scary when you get something like this, especially when they start sending you photos of your house.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, they have your phone number, they have your address, which I mean, nowadays, all that stuff is it's public record, right? So, man, I just can't help but sit here and wonder if they just would have channeled the energy into something else rather than like writing this email, searching down this information and sending it to you. Like, the people who do scams like this, I really want to sit them down and be like, where did it go wrong?
Yeah.
That you feel the need to take advantage of people, and especially like the scams after the elderly. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's a special place in hell for those people.
Yeah. And the way they write the emails too, it's not, they never make an actual threat, but they're like, I don't make mistakes. Like, it's threatening language. And so you get scared. And the thing is, I'm like, first of all, I don't even know how to buy Bitcoin. So y'all are barking up the wrong tree. Secondly, I got to buy a new roof. I ain't got no money. Have you seen my house? It looks like perfect for Halloween horror season right now. Okay. It looks up so abandoned. The pizza guy thought he was going to get robbed by delivering a pizza to it.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We were supposed to talk about Jerry Seinfeld here, but I don't want to do that.
I want to talk about Taylor Swift.
Okay. So we've been talking a lot about the Hollywood or the Hallmark and the Netflix films that are coming out for the holiday season. It is my favorite thing to play in the background when once it gets a little chilly, you turn on the Hallmark channel, you turn on the Lifetime channel, and then you watch the same movie over and over and over again, just with different actors and different plot lines. But there's always a happy ending at the very end for these holiday films. Well, now Lifetime has announced that they are including a movie that has been inspired by Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Of course they have.
There's already a Kansas City Chiefs movie coming out. I can't remember what network it's on. It's probably Hallmark or one of those where it's very squeaky clean. Mama Kelce's supposed to be in it.
Oh, seriously?
Really? Yeah. It's not like a Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce flick for that one. It's just like a Kansas City Chiefs football romance. I don't know. They're going to fall in love over footballs or whatever they do.
But you sold that well.
Yeah, you sold it really well.
Yeah, I don't remember the plot line. Anyway, so the Lifetime one is actually inspired by Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. So it's going to be called Christmas in the Spotlight, and it comes out on November 23rd.
Okay, do you know the people who are supposedly playing Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and is there any resemblance? And is it like that, like Meghan Markle, Prince Harry movie?
I think it's going to be like that. So Christmas in the Spotlight. If I can... Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Here okay. we go.
So, wait, hang on. I got to scroll down.
While you're looking that up, the Chiefs Hallmark movie is called Holiday Touchdown, A Chiefs Love Story.
Oh, wow. I'm totally tuning into that.
Yeah, I'm all set.
Wait, this is actually like somewhat convincing. Wait, this guy's really hot.
What'd they do with the mustache?
There's no mustache.
Okay.
Wait, they don't look anything like Taylor and Travis.
No,
he's just like a big, beefy dude. Big, beefy guy in a tuxedo with... hair that looks nothing like Travis. He actually has really great hair. It's like a dishwater blonde, spiky situation. He has a lot of hair, but it's not like hanging over his ears like Justin Bieber. And then the Taylor Swift character has like a blonde situation. She needs to get her roots done. but she looks small and cute next to him, which is what we all love for Taylor, that she gets to be a small girl next to Travis Kelce. Anyway, so this is Christmas in the Spotlight. The plot description says, with each passing day they spend together, their feelings grow stronger. But can it last in the limelight, especially when they both have such hectic schedules? With people questioning if their feelings for each other are real or just for show, the pressure moments from the press, paparazzi, their fans, and even their family. It's going to be so good. Can we watch it? Comes out on November 23rd. Do you think Taylor and Travis are going to like have a movie night and watch all these Kansas City Taylor Swift movies?
Not the way Travis Kelce playing. He better not. Go practice. Go practice.
He's going to get his butt in the gym.
Yes.
Lift a weight, Travis.
Please.
Lift a weight. But speaking of sports, people are wondering what's going to happen to Tom Brady's broadcast career after he signed to become a part owner of the NFL team, the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'm sure you're wondering, like, okay, what does this have to do with him being a part owner? Like, can he not do both? Can he not have the best of both worlds? Well, according to his contract restrictions for being a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, he is not allowed to be in another team's facility. He can't witness other teams practice. Oh. He can't attend broadcast production meetings. He cannot publicly criticize game officials or other teams. And he will be subject to the NFL's gambling policy and their tampering, yeah, all that official stuff.
I didn't think about that.
I didn't either. And I don't understand the move. I mean, I'm sure being part owner of the NFL team is great, but they're paying him $300 million to talk and watch a game. Like,
literally.
Why would you give that away?
And surely he had people around him that said, hey, if you go through with this Raiders deal, this is going to impact your broadcasting deal.
Right. Yeah, that don't seem like a smart move to me.
No, it doesn't seem smart to me at all, unless he is kind of over doing the broadcasting. Like, if he's just...
He just started doing the broadcasting.
Well, 6 weeks.
But maybe he's like, you know what? This just isn't for me. Like, I need to be more involved in football and not just being on the sidelines. But maybe he's at a point in his career... Well, he is at a point in his career where he can look at Fox and go, okay, well, I want to be a part owner. So, like, all these restrictions that I have, can you just work around them?
This is, like, way smart on his behalf, because think of all the stuff he does, all the BS he doesn't have to do. All he's got to do, he's Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. All he's got to do is show up and call color on the game. He doesn't have to go to the pre-production meetings or any of that.
It actually is kind of smart.
So you think this was his way of getting out of work?
If it isn't, it's brilliant.
Because Tom Brady doesn't strike me as a person who tries to get himself out of work.
That don't get you all them Super Bowls.
That doesn't get you to be GOAT status.
Not at all.
Well, I also was wondering, I'm like, why choose the Las Vegas Raiders out of all the teams? I mean, I don't know anything about football, but I haven't heard much about them recently.
Probably because they moved to Vegas recently, and because of that move, they right now are considered one of the hottest teams in the NFL.
Okay. All right, is Sabrina Carpenter putting a curse on all major sports teams? I'm going to tell you about this conspiracy theory on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.